turning tonight to the Gospel according to Luke, Luke's Gospel, and the chapter 21. And we've been looking at the great subject of the Lord's coming. And I want us to come again to this passage that we've been reading throughout the course of this past week, Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and then we're going to take a reading also from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 11. And I want us to tie the two together. You've got to remember that the Bible is one whole. It's made up of 66 books, but those books form one whole, entire, complete book. And the same truth runs the way, the whole way through the entire scriptures. And we should expect to find a glorious unity. There's no contradictions in the Bible. The Bible is characterized by unity. And we'll see that tonight as we go through the scriptures. And I'm going to use the screen as well. We've been doing a little bit of zigzagging through the scriptures. And it was said of the apostles that they went everywhere preaching the word. And tonight we're going to go everywhere in the Word, but we'll put it up on the screen so that that will help, and we'll be able to follow the passages of Scripture. But let's look at this, Luke's Gospel 21, and verse 20, the disciples are asking the question, what will be the sign of the Lord's return? And the Lord answers them with these words in verse 20, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh or near. And let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Then turning over to Romans chapter 11, Paul's letter to the Romans. And the Apostle Paul here is dealing with the subject of the unbelief of the Jewish people and their rejection of the Messiah. And he says in verse 11, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall?" He's referring to the Jews. "God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy." And I want you to see the connection we've just been reading in Luke's Gospel, where the Lord has been talking about Jerusalem and this people, the Jews. And then Jerusalem being trodden down by the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are all the peoples of the world who are not related to Abraham through Jacob and Isaac. So if you cannot trace your ancestry all the way back to Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, then you're a Gentile. The Jews are those who trace their natural descendancy from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so here we have, in Luke's Gospel, the Jews and the Gentiles. And now in Romans 11, the Jews and the Gentiles. Verse number 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might see of some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. If thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root bearest thee. I will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature, into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant toward them, when I shall take away their sins. As according to the gospel, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Amen. We'll end there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to this reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Shall we bow together in prayer? Father, give us understanding tonight in the scriptures of truth. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will be evident among us, teaching us thy truth and revealing to us the way of salvation. Bless thy word to each and every waiting heart. Strengthen every believer, and if there be an unsaved soul in the meeting, Lord, grant tonight that that soul will be brought on to Christ and saved by God's grace. Bless us now, we pray, and give understanding and help as we come to thy precious word. This we ask in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, the focus of our attention this week has been the signs of the Lord's return. The Lord was asked by his disciples what would be the sign of his coming. What would signal that his return wasn't very far away? What events would herald his near return? And to that question, the Lord answered and replied by setting out the events that would most surely come to pass. And we took a little time through this week to consider some of those signs For instance, there in Luke chapter 21, the Lord said in verse 11, great earthquakes shall be in divers places, in different places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. The Lord is saying, at the end of this age, just prior to his return, there will be an escalation of great upheaval and calamity and commotion and turmoil and agitation in this earth. Great earthquakes. And all of these will be the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of the end, as it were, ushering us towards the coming of the Lord. And the word sorrow there is the word that's used of the sorrow of child labor and childbirth. And the Lord is saying, when you see this earth heaving and groaning in travail, when you see these earthquakes, it is an indication that there is soon to be the birth of a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And the old heaven and earth will pass away. The natural sign, or the signs that we will find in nature. But then the Lord also said to his disciples that the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, would serve as a sign. You come down there to verse number 32. Verily I say unto you, this generation, and we discovered that the word generation is also translated nation, this nation shall not pass away. And we know exactly who that nation is in verse number 23, the Lord says there will be wrath upon this people, the people of Israel, the Jewish people. And the Lord is saying, keep your eye on the nation of Israel and follow closely what happens to Israel, because it will be an indication as to when my return will be near. Then we took a little time to look at the third sign, which was that of the Gentiles. Verse 24, Jerusalem will be destroyed and trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And the Gentile nations will rise up, and we will see the great Gentile powers ruling over the world. That will bring us right to the very end of this age, immediately prior to the coming of the Lord. And then, on Wednesday evening, we considered the sign of Jerusalem. And you can see there in verse number 24 that the focus is on Jerusalem. And again in verse 20, when ye see Jerusalem, verse 24, Jerusalem shall be trodden down. The Lord is saying Jerusalem is a sign, and what happens to Jerusalem will indicate that the coming of the Lord is not far away. Now tonight I want us to come to another sign, and it is the sign of the gospel. And the Lord is saying here to his disciples, keep your eye on the natural signs, the earthquakes. Keep your eye on the nation of Israel and what happens to Israel. Keep your eye on the Gentile powers that will come together. Keep your eye on the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be downtrodden by the Gentiles. And you can see that even to this very day, that the Gentile influence is exercised in the very city of Jerusalem, the Dome of the Rock, located on the site where the temple used to be. The Lord is saying, look at all these things. But there's one other sign that you must keep in mind, and it is the sign of the gospel. If you turn to Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 24, you will come to the corresponding passage with Luke's account. What Luke said in Luke chapter 21 is now written up by Matthew in his gospel in this chapter, chapter 24. And verse 14 says, the Lord says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. You can see that the gospel has a reference to the end of this age and to the coming of the Lord, the preaching of the gospel throughout all the nations of the world. Christ's purpose in coming into this world the first time was to redeem a people from fallen humanity. And he would redeem that people by his death upon the cross, when he would lay down his life as a sacrifice for sin and shed his precious blood to satisfy divine justice. And on the third day he rose triumphant from the dead. And he commanded his disciples to go into all the world and preach this message of the gospel to every creature, to every nation. Because the Lord has a purpose, and that purpose is to save a people out of every nation. They will be the Lord's redeemed people. That great purpose will be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus will not return until his redemptive purpose is completed. The gospel must go to every nation, and the people must be saved out of every nation, every kindred, every language, every nation. But what we've got to recognize tonight is the connection between this great purpose in salvation, this great redemptive purpose. We've got to see the connection between that purpose of the gospel and the events that relate to Israel and the Gentile nations. And we've taken time this week to look at these signs concerning Israel and the Gentiles and Jerusalem. And they are all connected with Christ's purpose in the gospel to save a people out of all nations and to call them unto himself. There's a connection. And I want us to consider that this evening. I want us to look in the first instance at what we've already considered. The Lord Jesus said that Jerusalem would be destroyed and the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, would be scattered among all the nations of the world. In verse 20, if you come back to Luke's account, verse 20, the Lord says, when you see Jerusalem compassed or surrounded by armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. And the Lord said that great trouble was going to come upon the city of Jerusalem, and the people would fall by the edge of the sword, and they would be led away captive into all nations. Jerusalem will be destroyed, and the Jewish people will be led away into all nations. And that has already been fulfilled. Almost 40 years, not quite 40 years, after these words were spoken, the armies of the Roman Empire surrounded the city of Jerusalem. They besieged that city for a long time. Famine set in, starvation, pestilence. Many died because of the famine and the pestilence. And then eventually the armies of Titus invaded the city and destroyed it, and the great temple was burned to the ground. And those who survived the edge of the sword were led away as prisoners. And ever since that time, the Jewish people have wandered from nation to nation, scattered among all the nations. The Lord Jesus said this would happen. It would be a sign of his return. This dispersal, this great scattering of the Jews would come because of divine judgment upon the nation of Israel. The Lord explains it in verse 23. He says, in those days there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, wrath, God's judgment will be upon the nation of Israel. The destruction of Jerusalem, the scattering of the Jewish people, was a judgment from God. And that judgment came because they rejected the Messiah. If you turn over there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the reference is on the screen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is writing to this church in Thessalonica, and he says these words in verse 14, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men." Remember, Paul was a Jew, and he's speaking of his fellow countrymen, and he says, they killed the Lord Jesus. Verse 16, "forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath." Notice the definite article, the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. And the Apostle Paul is simply taking the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke's Gospel 21, and he's saying this has been fulfilled. The wrath, the judgment that Christ spoke about has fallen on them. And the reason why is because they have rejected Christ. They rejected their Messiah. They killed the Lord Jesus. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, Paul says, I want you to know this, he's saying. Don't be ignorant of this. Know this, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. A spiritual blindness has fallen upon them. And he says now that they have been cut off. They have been cast off, as it were. And the judgment of God is upon them. And they are scattered among all the nations. It's a powerful reminder to us tonight that there is always a consequence in hearing the gospel. There's some people think that they can despise the gospel and reject Christ without any consequence whatsoever. But I point you tonight to the nation of Israel. And God's dear Son came in the flesh, God incarnate in the flesh, and he walked among them and he lived in their midst. He wrought great miracles. He raised the dead, he healed the sick, he made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He wrought great miracles, and then they took him and they nailed him to a cross of shame. And in that act they rejected their Messiah, and the judgment of God fell upon the nation of Israel. There is always a consequence to hearing the gospel. And that's what Paul is saying in this chapter to the Romans. He's saying to them, take heed. If God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. There is a consequence in rejecting the gospel. And it is an eternal consequence. Israel destroyed, Jerusalem destroyed, and Israel scattered because they rejected Christ. But that brings us secondly to this point. That during this time when Israel will be in spiritual blindness, wandering among the nations of the world, God will call the Gentile nations to himself, and a great multitude out of all nations will be saved. Look at what Paul says in Romans 11, verse 25. Blindness in part, partial blindness, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles becoming. During this time of judgment upon the nation of Israel, God will turn his focus and his purpose in grace upon the Gentile nations. Paul uses the illustration of the olive tree. And he says, there's the olive tree and it has the natural branches, but the natural branches are cut off. And that's a picture of Israel, natural, national Israel, being cut off because of their unbelief. But Paul says to these Gentile believers, you were a wild olive tree, and you have been grafted in. You've been brought in because of their fall, and because of their unbelief. God is now reaching out the mercy, the message of mercy, to the nations of the world. And he's opening the door of salvation to the Gentiles. Never since the introduction of the New Testament era, the Lord has been calling a people to himself from all nations. This gospel, the Lord said, must be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. This meeting tonight is a fulfillment of that prophecy. To many, the Lord Jesus was just a Galilean Jew. One who was born of the house of Israel. And the only time that he stepped outside the boundaries, the borders of the land of Israel was as a babe when Joseph and Mary took him down into Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod. But for all of his adult life, he dwelt and he lived in the land of Israel. And yet this man said his gospel would be preached in all the world. And the Gentiles would be gathered in. And here we are, many, many hundreds of miles away from the land of Israel. And we're holding a meeting in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And we're gathering around his gospel. This meeting tonight is a fulfillment of that prophecy. But it's also a fulfillment of the great promise that was given to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. There God called Abraham and he told Abraham he was going to make of him a great nation. And from Abraham's line would come the Savior. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In thy seed, in thine offspring, the one who would come from the line, the descendancy of Abraham, would bring the blessing of salvation, and that blessing would reach to all the nations. Whilst the Lord has set aside the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel under divine judgment, God is now reaching out the message of mercy and salvation, the gospel, to the Gentile peoples of the world. The Bible says this gospel will be preached in all the world. And you know what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 7? When we come to the very end of the age, when the Lord comes back, on that day it's going to be revealed just how many people from the Gentile lands will have been saved. Revelation 7 and verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And the question is asked, what are these? In verse 14, he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. A great multitude which no man could number, of every nation, every color of skin, every background.
great multitude saved and washed in the blood of Christ will be assembled around the everlasting throne, gathered out of all nations. The Gentiles will receive this message of the gospel. But that brings us to the last point, and it's this: that when the fullness of the Gentiles is brought in, God will visit the nation of Israel again in mercy. And Israel will be converted at the coming of the Lord. Let's look at our text in Romans chapter 11 again. In verse number 25, he says, I want you to know this blindness, spiritual blindness in part, a partial blindness, not complete. For the Lord is still saving some Jews, individuals here and there. Paul himself was a Jew converted to Christ. But as far as the nation is concerned, there's a spiritual blindness that has fallen upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There's a time limit to this. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. You see the pattern here? You see the process here? Israel is cast to the side because they've rejected their Messiah. God takes the gospel to the nations of the world, and he calls a great multitude that no man can number unto himself. And then when that number is complete, the Deliverer shall come out of Zion, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, from the children of Jacob. They're going to be converted. Scripture's very clear and detailed as to the prospects of national Israel. They're scattered in among all the nations because they rejected the Messiah. And yet, for all the trouble that will come upon them, we looked at this the other evening. They will have no rest for the sole of their foot. They will live in fear of their life. Their life will hang in doubt, paleness of face. And that has been the history of the Jewish people ever since AD 70. You think of recent years during the Nazi regime in Germany. The Jews had no hiding place, no safety, living in fear of their lives. Living in fear of the concentration camps and the death chambers. God said this would happen because they rejected the Messiah. And yet for all this, they will be preserved as a nation. This generation, this nation shall not pass away. They'll not cease to exist. God will preserve the nation. And the Bible tells us that he will restore them to their land at the end of this age. And when they are restored to the land, they will face a time of great tribulation that will be brought about by the gathering of the Gentile nations against them. And we looked at that the other evening. The nations of the Roman earth will all come together again in a confederacy. And God will bring those nations against Jerusalem. And when that happens, the Redeemer shall come. The Lord shall return. Let's just look at some of the verses. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse number 33. This is a tremendous statement. Ezekiel chapter 20. And verse number 33, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. The picture there is of the nation of Israel under divine judgment and chastisement. And then God says in verse 34, I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. Can you have it any clearer than that? God says, look at the Jewish nation. I'm going to scatter them into all the nations of the world. But the day will come when I will gather them again. And I will bring them again into the land that I promised to Abraham. Look at verse 35. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. And there will I plead with you, face to face. What the Lord is saying, the Lord is saying, when I begin to bring Israel back into the land, it's in preparation for my return, and I will plead with them face to face. In other words, he says, I'm coming again, and I'm going to reveal myself. I'm going to appear again to Israel. Face to face. Turn over to Zechariah, which is the last book but one in the Old Testament. You get to the end of the Old Testament, Malachi, and then just go back one. And Zechariah chapter 14, here's the scene that's set. God says in verse number 2, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. That hasn't happened yet. Certain nations have come. But the Lord is speaking about a confederacy of nations. And the book of Joel tells us that they will come because they have parted the land. And you can see this happening. All the nations of Western Europe have all joined together in the European Union. They're stretching out the hand now to Turkey and the nations that were in the west and the eastern part of the Roman Empire. And you'll see Lebanon and Syria coming in, and the Roman Empire stretched right along the top part of Africa, those nations straddling the Mediterranean Sea, Egypt, Libya, Morocco, Tunisia. And what's happening? Look at the unrest in those nations tonight. They're rising up against the dictatorships, seeking to throw them off. And what's going to happen? In time they will be brought in. And that confederacy will be formed, the nations of the Roman earth. And God says that he will gather all nations against Jerusalem, and they will come. And the reason why they will come will be concerning the land. And what is the great problem in Israel tonight? It's the land. And Tony Blair thinks he's going to devise a strategy, and they're going to part up the land and create a Palestinian state. The Lord said this would happen, and such will be the problem of Israel, that the nations will come against Jerusalem. God says this is going to happen. And I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Verse 3, then, when that happens, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. He's coming back. And he will stand upon the Mount of Olives. You go back there into chapter 12. You get a little bit more of the picture. Verse number 3, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. I want to tell you tonight, it will be a detrimental thing for our nation to raise their hand against Israel. That doesn't mean we condone everything that Israel does. For they are still in unbelief. But the ancient covenant God made with Abraham still holds. God said, I will bless him that blesseth thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And God says, every nation that lifts its hand against Israel, God will cut them in pieces. The ancient covenant still holds. And here we have the situation where they're facing this great trouble. Then shall the Lord go forth. Then shall the Lord go forth. and the Lord shall return. And we read there in verse number 9 of chapter 12, it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. I want you to see this is after Calvary. The Lord Jesus is already pierced. They've rejected him. They've nailed him to the cross. And the Lord says, I'm going to bring them, scatter them. Then I'm going to bring them back. And the nations will come against Jerusalem. And in that day, the Lord shall go forth. And he says, they will look upon me. I will plead with them face to face. And they will look upon me, whom they have pierced. If you look at chapter 13 and verse 6. Someone's going to say something to the Lord in that day. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then shall he answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. I came to you. I came as the lowly Jesus of Nazareth. I walked in your midst. I performed miracles. I went about doing good. And you took me. You nailed me to a cross of shame. You rejected me. And they're going to see the nail prints in his hands. They shall look on me whom they have pierced. And one shall say, what are these wounds in thine hands? Our Messiah, the one long hoped for. And every day at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, they are praying for the coming of the Messiah. And when he comes, he will come with wounded hands. And they will say, what are these wounds? And he will say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Do you know what's going to happen? That remnant of Israel that will see the Lord come in glory, they will fall at his feet. And that they will be converted to him. They'll be saved the very same way that you and I can be saved. It's by grace. Chapter 12 and verse 10. God says, I'll pour upon the house of David the spirit of grace. The only way you can get saved is by the grace of God. It's undeserved, unmerited favor. They will repent. In verse 10, when they look on him, they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. There'll be a great mourning over their sin. Repentance. Chapter 13 and verse 1. There will be faith in his cleansing blood. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. That fountain. Oh, we sing about it. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath its flow, lose all their guilty stains. And for all these hundreds of years, Israel has been blinded to that truth. They're going about establishing their own righteousness by their own works and their own efforts. But in that day, they will see that the only thing that can cleanse away their sin is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be saved by grace. They'll be saved through repentance. They'll be saved through faith in the cleansing blood. Look at verse 9 of chapter 13. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name. They'll call upon the name of the Lord. And I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. The very same way that any of us in this meeting tonight will be saved. By grace, through repenting of our sin, through trusting the shed blood of Christ and calling upon Him for salvation. That's how you get saved. There's not a different way of salvation for the Jew as for the Gentile. It's the very same. And God will complete on that day His great redemptive purpose. God will graft them back in again. You know, there was a preview of this in the New Testament. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the Apostle Paul, in the verse number 8 of that chapter, he's talking there about the risen Lord and those who had witnessed Him. He says in verse 5, He was seen of Cephas and then of the 12, and after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Then verse 8, and last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Or as one born before the time. What does Paul mean when he wrote that? Well, think about how Paul was saved. Remember, he was that zealous Pharisee filled with enmity against the very name of Jesus. And he went to the high priest and asked him for permission to go down to Damascus, that there he might imprison the Christians, bring them back to Jerusalem. And there he is, he's heading down in unbelief, rejecting the Messiah. And suddenly the Lord appeared. And he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord of glory. And Saul fell on his knees, on his face, on the ground. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And there and then, when Saul saw the Lord in his glory, he repented of his sins. He received them by faith. And he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And now all these years afterwards, he says, He was seen of me also as one born before the time. In other words, the way in which I was converted is just a preview of what will happen the day the Lord comes back. His feet will stand in the Mount of Olives. And that remnant of the house of Israel will see Him. And by the grace of God, they'll be gathered in. It's all coming to pass the way the Lord said. The stage is being set. The nation of Israel is back in the land tonight. But they're not in safety or peace. They're in trouble. And unrest. And every day they live in fear of their lives. They're back in unbelief. In rejection of the Messiah. But the Lord is setting the stage for His return. In preparation for the coming of the Lord. And the fullness of the Gentiles is brought in. The Deliverer shall come out of Zion and turn ungodliness away from Jacob. And so all Israel shall be saved. You know what all that means tonight? It means that time's running out for the Gentiles. Time's running out. And God in grace and in mercy is sending the gospel to the nations of the world, sending it to you and to me. But the time is running out. And every day brings us nearer to the coming of the Lord. I was struck when I was reading Matthew's account, as looking at that little phrase there, all nations. And the Lord said this gospel will be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. There's the opportunity. That's why we sang tonight, whosoever will. Doesn't matter what land you come from, what language you speak, what nationality you have. The gospel is for whosoever will believe on the Lord Jesus shall be saved. But in that same chapter we read these words. The Lord said to his disciples as they would go and preach the gospel. In verse number 9 he says, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You know what that tells me? That tells me that whilst the offer of the gospel is made to all nations, not all in those nations will receive and believe in Christ. Many will reject them just as the Jews rejected them. And outside of Christ, there will be no hope. It's all coming to pass, as the Lord said. So much more that we could say tonight. But I think it's sufficient to close with the words of the Lord Jesus. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. He's coming back, and every eye will see him. Are you ready to meet the Lord when the Lord returns? Are you ready to stand before him? Do you have a saving faith in Christ? Are you trusting in his blood? Have you repented of your sin? Have you called upon his name? You must be saved. And the offer is extended to you, but the time is running out. Time is short. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. We're going to look on Sunday night at the last trumpet when the Lord comes. The Bible says he will come with the sound of the trumpet. And we're going to take up that subject and look at the last trumpet. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're prepared for the coming of the Lord. We've been singing a great hymn through this week. It's 160. 160. We're going to close with this hymn tonight. And as we sing these words, I want you to think very carefully about the coming of the Lord and ask yourself, am I ready? If the Lord were to come tonight and bring in the end of this age and the great judgment throne, would you be ready? Would you be saved? Ask yourself the question. Can you sing these words? Some golden daybreak for me, for you, he will come. 160, it's page 242, we'll stand together. As we sing, if you're saved, then sing this with the joy of the Lord, knowing that he's coming for you. If you're not saved, then just where you're standing, call on the Lord in your heart. And ask the Lord to save you and make you ready for his return. We'll stand together as we sing 106.